Hey, this is Nick Gomez from The Walking Dead and Dexter. Hi, Sister K. Hi, Sister J.
Hey, sisters. It's Shalita from Philly. It's time for humans to bite back.
Hi, sisters and Sister Speak podcast family. This is Toya from Delaware. It's time for humans to bite back.
Hello, sisters. This is another Bill from Costa Mesa, California, also known as the future Mr. K. Hello. It's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, this is Jackie from the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, what's up? This is Brother Ray from St. Louis, and you've reached the Sister Speak podcast, home of the strongest, sexiest, and most intelligent viewers, as we stand united, because it's time we humans bite back.
Hello, sisters. This is Paris from Mobile, Alabama, and it's time for humans to bite back.
This is Niambi, a Philly girl hailing from Virginia. It's time for the humans to bite back.
Welcome to Sister Speak Podcast of True Blood. This is Bunny from New York, and all I have to say is, it's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, sisters, it's Jazzy from Ohio. It's time for humans to bite back.
This is Emily, and it's time for humans to bite back. Love you, sisters. Keep it up.
Nursey Poo 2K2 from Philly. Yo, it's time for humans to bite back.
Hi, this is Carol, simply from Seattle. It's time for humans to bite back.
Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 6 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 60. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. We are back to talk about episode 9 titled Life Matters.
Yep. And then we'll be all caught up.
And we'll be all caught up.
For the finale. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Why don't we start with Sookie and Bill in the ferry plane? Because that's where we kind of left off.
Okay.
And, you know, Warlow is laid out on the ground. Yeah. And so, Sookie's talking about, who did this? And, of course, Bill says, Eric, you know. And so she feeds Warlow. She says, drink, drink. So,
well, no. She's trying to gnaw on her arm to blood, to get the blood going. And Bill is saying, well.
Well, Bill drops his fangs.
Yeah. But even before that, Bill's saying, okay, well, he's somewhat alive. We can just go ahead and take him now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, he is in no shape to do anything that you want him to do right now.
Yep,
and
that's
Eric's
right.
Got more of his blood than he does. So why don't you go find Eric, deal with your vampire. And I kind of agreed with that too. I'm like,
she was telling
yeah,
him.
Yeah, go deal with your vampire. Mm-hmm. Although I want Eric to kick his ass.
Right. And so Sookie is biting her arm and she's feeding Warlow her blood. And Bill says, well, you know, he's had enough. Bill snatches him up. And he wait a minute, but this is what got me. Bill snatches Warlow up by the neck and he demands for him to show him how to get out of the ferry plane. I'm thinking, you stupid dummy. You don't know how to get out. And you're going to choke him and think he's going to tell you. And what does Warlow say? No. He says no. And the first thing I thought was, okay. So, see, that's because Bill didn't say, as your maker, I demand you show me how to get out of here. He just, you know, said, and show me how to get out. And, of course, Sookie's, you know, telling him, look, he is in no shape to go anywhere. And then Bill has the nerve to say, you show me how to get out of here or Sookie dies. What the hell? He's threatening her. And I'm thinking, what the hell?
I know, Bill's just crazy.
And so Warlow says to Sookie, use your light. And she says, it won't work in here. He says, yeah, it will. Blast his ass. Sookie blasts Bill out of the freight plane. I was laughing. I cracked up. I thought, yeah, blast his ass. He looked so mad.
I know. First he looked like so startled, mad. And then he's like, okay.
Ooh, he looked so mad, though.
Yeah.
So then, of course, he runs off. And then this whole episode, though, I like the way they did this whole episode because they go back and forth between the vamp camp and the funeral. And that funeral, though, they did a really good, in my opinion, a really good tribute to Terry's character.
Yeah, and
I loved it.
I like the flashbacks that we saw of when everybody met him and mm-hmm. when he got back.
So let's talk about the funeral all in one thing. And that way, then we can deal with the vamp camp all in one thing, too. And that is, you know...
Well, first, though, Sookie is telling Benarlo that she's got to go.
Because she wants to go back to this funeral.
And he's magically all better.
Well, but that he's had her blood, and now it's daylight again. But what I thought interesting about that scene was that when she says, well, you know, I got to go, and he looked like, oh, you going back to Bill or something. I mean, he looked real irritated. Yeah. Then she says, you know, I got this funeral to go to, my friend. And then he softened, and well, he kind of understood.
Asking, he's asking, so when you first came back here, you were planning to give yourself to me. And she's like, yes, I was. And he's like, has that changed? Because I think that would have, depending on what she answered, that would have changed his response.
It might have.
Yep.
And she says, look, when I give up my promise, she said, yeah, because I promise. And when I give a promise, I always keep it.
Keep a promise, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we going to see. Stinky.
Yeah, we going to see.
All right, so at the funeral.
Well, I think she does, but I want to see what happens if he doesn't think that she feels the same
right. way. At the funeral, we see Arlene arriving, like, at the funeral, and she's greeting Reverend Daniels, and I think that's really, really
and
nice. Letty Mae.
Drunk as.
Letty Mae drunk. May. She is intoxicated. Talking about, ooh, we wouldn't miss being here. And I'm thinking, Letty Mae, hush. You know, so, and Arlene's just, you know, very, very nice, and they're showing everybody as they're coming in.
Yeah.
And the grandma's got shit to say throughout this whole funeral. She's talking about, when Sookie's walking up, she's talking about, is that the Stackhouse girl? Is that the weirdo one? Oh, my God. Woman, hush. You know. So, anyway, so then, of course, Alcide arrives, and he want to... This is what irritated me. And he wanted to sit next to Sookie. And she lets him know, well, I'm saving this for Jason, but what the hell? You know?
First of all, why is he there?
Why in the hell is he even there?
Thank you.
You know?
Why is he there?
He didn't know Terry that well.
Thank you.
He might have seen him in the kitchen one time.
I was irritated to see Alcide. I was irritated to see fucking Nicole.
Yeah, what the hell was Nicole there with Sam for?
Because she stayed with him.
But still, she don't know Terry.
She's there for Sam.
Shit. That was irritating.
But I didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
I was irritated with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see it look a hot fucking mess.
A hot fucking mess. What the hell is up with his hair? Shit. What is that supposed to be? Fabio in the making or something?
I did like seeing.
And it's a part down the middle. Oh, wait a minute. By the way. Wait. I got to interject one thing.
Oh, Lord.
I do have to apologize to Sister K and our listeners about a black chick with the part down the middle of her head.
No, it's not a black
woman.
Wait. It's an afro.
Hush. Well, let me finish.
Well, you got that part
home,
wrong.
I was home, of course, recuperating, and I was too lazy to turn the channel, so Wendy Williams' show came on. And there was a black chick sitting on the front row with an afro with a part down the middle. I said, damn, Sister K was right. Shit. She was it out, and I could not believe it. And it was a part down the middle, and it was her hair.
Yes. So, hey, it happens.
I stand corrected, but Tara looked a mess with her, so.
Well, but the thing is, the only thing that you should be apologizing for was me and Tammy, because Tammy had sent us an email last season
mm-hmm.
about watching HGTV and seeing a black woman with a with the afro with the center part. And our whole thing was when they had when they had Tara taking her braids down season two, one with that hair, we were like, who the fuck wrote this? Who even does that?
I know.
And so we had to acknowledge the fact, and Tammy told us,
I'm telling you now.
It's a rare fucking thing, obviously.
Well, I'm telling you now, but anyway, so I just thought of that. But anyway, okay, so, you know, then at the funeral, Reverend Daniels is preaching, I thought his whole little speech was really good, because he was trying to emphasize to Arlene that to Terry, family meant everything. It was always about family, and family was the most important thing to him. And then they got up, different people got up to speak, and as they're speaking about Terry, then we get the flashbacks. I loved it. I loved the way they did that.
Wait a minute. Before you skip some stuff, but before you keep going, I like seeing Jane Bodehouse.
Oh, yeah. And Miss Fortenberry.
Maxine Fortenberry. And
I did like seeing them.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that, you know, a funeral, you always see people you haven't seen in forever. Mm-hmm. And they made that kind of happen where we're seeing these characters that we haven't seen for a while.
We haven't seen all season.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I really like that.
I did, too. And I like the fact that they're all just, you know, sitting there together, everybody looking all somber. And yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
And then when Sookie says, how's Hoyt? And she says, oh, he's doing great. He got a girlfriend. Maxine says she ugly as sin, but hey, at least she ain't no redheaded bloodsucker.
Maxine Fortenberry never going to
change. Oh, she ain't never going to change, but I love Maxine Fortenberry, though.
I also love seeing Lisa and Kobe.
Yeah.
Who we were wanting to see.
Lisa is growing up.
She's cute.
She is really cute. And
they really didn't show Kobe much, so I'm wondering if it's a different boy.
It could be, but I was sitting there in a scene later where they're showing Arlene, and that little Lisa girl, that could be her real daughter. Got the same color hair. Yeah. Everything, but that little girl's growing up, though.
Yeah, they're all growing up.
Uh-huh. She's maturing nicely. But anyway, I liked Andy's little talk, because we get a flashback of Fort Belvoir.
Yeah.
And like when Terry first came back, man, Terry was off his rocker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Poor little thing. And how Andy tried to coax him out back into the world, you know. But
the thing that was cute about that scene is that Andy just didn't, like, give up on him. He just said, I'm going to do this every day, and you can either talk to me or you don't.
Yep, he says, and you know,
you need to tell me what I need to bring you, at least.
He said, what kind of beer you want? He's talking about Raging Bitch. He said, okay, you know. Then the next person we see is Sam, I think. And Sam is speaking about, you know, when he first that Terry was probably one of the best friends he's ever had in his whole life, and that when he first met Terry, you know, he liked him right away. And then we get back to another scene at Fort Belvoir, where this time Andy brings Sam out to see Terry and say, hey, I got a friend of mine named Sam Merlot. Remember him? And so he tells Sam, you know, talk to him. And Sam's talking, hey, I own a bar at Merlot's, and I bought you beer.
Yeah.
And as they're talking and looking out in the wooded area, talking to Terry, Terry's sneaking up behind them. And Andy's saying, yeah, I thought we could maybe go fishing and throw back a few. And Terry, I like to fish, because he's behind them.
Right.
I thought that was so cute.
That was cute.
That was really cute. And then it shows them fishing, and Terry catches this big old catfish, and he makes them throw him back.
That would have been some damn good.
Oh, that was a big, fat, juicy catfish. I love some catfish.
I know.
But Terry makes him throw him back. He says, because every life matters. And I thought, poor little Terry.
Yeah, that's when he kind of.
And then he was saying,
goes
look.
Goes a little bit crazy.
Well, he was saying, look, I don't think I can do this. And Sam's trying to tell him, look, man, you can do it. You know.
Yeah, he said, I done spilt my beer.
Mm-hmm. And I like that when Sam said, look, we can just get you another one. And then when Terry sat there and he said,
I like you, Sam. I know, that was cute.
Oh,
and
that
Sam
was
says,
just.
And I like you, too.
And
they just went on back to fishing.
I know.
Got him another beer.
And they was all there together. You
all
know,
there
that
together.
Was good. Then, okay, this is my favorite part in the whole funeral. Lafayette. First of all,
Nelson Ellis.
Lafayette looked good.
He looked good.
Damn, he was dressed all up in that suit, even with his lashes.
With his makeup on. I was like, oh,
damn, he looked good.
Nelson,
he looked good. Dang, he looked good. And so Lafayette got up to speak. Here's the grandma.
Grandma.
Is that a boy or a girl?
All loud.
All loud. And they trying to shush her ass. Oh, man, she had me dying. But the story he told, though, was really, really nice. I really, really liked it because it reminded me of when we first met Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And just his sass and,
yeah,
and how
before he
everything.
Was
yeah.
tortured and before and the other crap.
And found out he was a medium and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it was a story of, you know, that Terry's in the kitchen cooking his first night and he's kind of burning the French fries and he's kind of zoned out and Lafayette's saying, hey,
watch the fries.
Yeah, watch the fries and stuff. And you know, Terry asked him, look, can you help me? I want to do this job. Can you help me? And Lafayette told Arlene, and you know, I never believed in this stuff, but I looked in his eyes and I saw his soul.
Yep.
And I told him, look, man, he said, when Lafayette was showing him how to do
cook those fries, he says, I can put some extra in it.
Yeah, and put the dip in there. When Terry got to dipping, oh my God, that was hilarious. That was so good. I had to roll that back and watch a couple times.
That was
I enjoyed
funny.
It
that
so,
was so
much.
Cute.
It was so cute.
But see, this is what True Blood's kind of missed. Just like they said, just like Shalita or Paris or
whoever.
Bunny said, this is getting back to the
core people.
The core people. And forget all the peripheral people that they've done added in over the years.
But this is what we like, is how these people interact with each other and how they feel about each other.
In all of this vampire shifterware world.
Yeah.
And we've gotten so far into, let's do this to this person, let's do this to this person. We haven't gotten to just the interaction between the two people on a normal basis, which is what I like, too.
And then the next person, we have Portia stand up, and she's giving a little story about how she didn't know how to swing and couldn't swing, and Terry taught her how to swing and not be ashamed to swing, you know, and everything. Yeah. And that was kind of cute. But then Reverend Daniels had called Arlene to come up, and, of course, Sookie overhears Arlene saying, you know, she's just not ready for it. She don't know if she can get up and say anything. So Sookie gets up.
Yeah.
I really like Sookie's little talk.
Too.
I loved it.
I did
that
too.
That was the best writing for her that these writers have done. Except for her interactions with Bill. Those are good. But this was excellent. And I love the way that she was, in my opinion, she was strong but vulnerable. Because when she first got up and said, well, you know, I don't really speak in a group of people, and all y'all know that I'm kind of
different about me.
And some of y'all know, you know, what it is. And then when she said,
at first, I thought she was going to say, I'm a fairy. And I was going to say, oh,
don't
Lord,
tell her.
Don't
but when
say
she
that.
Said, I'm a telepath. And I thought
that's
excellent.
A better way to say it. Yeah.
Excellent.
I did too. Cause at first I thought, oh Lord, what is she going to say?
Because of the people sitting there, only Sam and Alcide and Nelson and Lafayette know.
Well, Arlene knows, and Annie knows. I mean, they all know she's got...
They don't know she's a fairy.
No, the fairy part.
No.
Yeah,
only Lafayette, only Alcide, and only Sam know that she's fae.
Right.
The other people know she's a telepath, or she can read their minds and stuff.
Right.
But them's the only three.
Right.
See, that knew... And I thought that was excellent, the way that was, because...
Well, the way she said it, I was, like, relieved because I was thinking, okay, don't say it, girl.
Yeah.
But I did really like that scene.
I loved it.
I liked how she started it, like you said, and I like how she said, and what cracked me up was when she said, you know, I just want to go back to the same night Lafayette told you about, And, you know, we were working with that girl that we didn't bother to learn her name because we didn't know why Sam hired her in the first place.
Wasn't that good? And Sam had to kind of smile because he remembered who it was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then they went to the flashback in the kitchen.
Oh, that was a really good
scene. That was so good. And that girl was kind of pushy. She was just very forward.
He wasn't even bothered with that girl.
Yeah, but she was way forward, you know. Sookie, of course, being able to, you know, read his mind. And I thought that was just so sweet.
Yeah.
When she let Arlene know what he was really thinking.
Well, he said he loved you from the very first.
Yeah, from the moment he saw you.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, oh, that was good. So then Arlene was able to get up and, you know, speak. And with Arlene, this was so cute. We got a flashback of the night that little Mikey was born.
Yeah, and she was trying to breastfeed him.
And the baby was hollering, she was getting frustrated. Mm. And Terry just calmed her down, helped her calm down, helped her breathe in and out, and told her, you know. Because remember, she was so concerned about Mikey being evil like Renee.
Yep.
And having Renee's evilness. And I thought it was so cute when Terry said, no, that's not true, because babies don't do that.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cute.
She was concerned that he hated her, and that's why he wasn't latching on.
Yeah.
Because he knew that she was trying to get rid of him at first, and he's like, babies don't know all that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do all that.
That was really cute.
So that was a cute scene.
Mm-hmm. That was really cute.
But yeah, they really did a good tribute to...
They did a good one.
Terry's character.
After her, then, of course, the Reverend Daniels was going to have the Marines do their 21-gun salute. But then Big John Dixon stands up, and he goes and whispers something to Letty Mae.
Now, I didn't get this, because Letty Mae, to me, seemed like she was giving him a look or something before he stood up or before he... It was like she looked back at him or something. I don't know.
I don't think it was just
a weird little, like, look, I thought. And then he stood up and said... You know, I want
to
sing.
No, he whispered something to her, and she says, Big John got something to say. And so he goes on up. What does the grandma say?
There sure are a lot of Negroes. Here.
No, she said, there's more Negroes here than I remember. And I'm thinking, shut the hell up, woman. And they tried to shush her ass, you know. Well, who's Big John? That's what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, oh, Lord, have mercy. But anyway, so Big John tells him, look, I don't really talk a lot, but...
I love Terry,
and I'm going to sing for him. And he sings the song, Life Matters. That's where we get the title.
Yep.
And while he's singing that, then we're, you know... going back and forth to the band camp, but we'll get to that later. And after he sings that, and of course they do the 21 gun salute, and then while they're presenting the flag, wrapping the flag and presenting the flag, they're playing Taps. That was very moving.
That was a good scene.
Because, you know, I've been to a military funeral, and that's very impressive when they're wrapping that flag.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they are precision. And then they present it to the widow, so... That's, or the parent, you know, if it's your child or whatever. That was very moving, I thought.
Yeah.
That was very, very moving. So, and
yeah, I liked all of those scenes, I liked all of the funeral scene except for when Alcide came up and sat next to Sookie.
Yeah.
And, you know, she did say, which I did like at the very beginning, she said, well, I'm saving the seat for Jason, but I haven't seen him. And she was, you know, worried about Jason.
Yeah.
And she should be shit, you know.
Yeah.
She didn't know where he was going.
Yeah,
but
she don't
had
know.
To assume
she don't
that
know.
Was something not good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but then when he said, I don't think Jason's coming, and sat down, I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean. Because they had to get him there so she could lean on his ass.
Ugh.
Oh, I know it.
You know, and a couple of episodes ago, we were really liking her when she was doing that trick on Benorlo.
Exactly.
Because she was standing up for herself. She wasn't whining and shit.
Yeah.
And now they done put her ass back to the...
And she's
can't stand
leaning
her
on him. And I'm thinking, oh, shit. Anyway.
And I'm just through with Alcide. He needs to go.
Yeah.
They just need to write him back home and not bring him back.
Okay. Let's go to the vamp camp. Ooh, Lord. This is awesome.
Eric is looking too good.
Eric is
And he's covered in blood the whole fucking episode.
But he is
but
looking
he
too good
the
good.
Whole episode.
Okay, we Eric arrives at the vamp camp in the daytime, and he sees all these guards assembling and everything outside the vamp camp.
Honey.
Next thing we know.
Bip, bam, boom. You see body parts.
Body parts
blood,
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Because Bill has gone to the vamp camp to look for Eric.
Well, but he's later.
Well.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
But, so as Eric's walking through the vamp camp, you know, he gets in, first of all, and the first area he gets to is Dr. Overlark.
I don't blame him. I'd go see that fool, too.
Yes.
He the one that infected Nora.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This whole episode was nasty.
It was, but
gruesome.
What he did is something I could never predict. Damn.
He didn't, like, bite anything.
No.
He just grabbed him off.
He grabbed that boy's junk. That man's junk and threw it on the floor.
He sure did.
Snatched it off.
And then the camera focused on it.
And he said, what did he say? I'll be back in 10 minutes to make sure
you
bleed
out. Mm-hmm.
I thought
you would die instantly.
No.
But I
you
guess
have to
not.
Bleed out.
Yeah.
And then Eric goes to the male gin pop. And
yep.
he opens it up with... And wait a minute. Had me cracking up because he had a bunch of arms with him, hands, and he's putting a hand up to the lock. That don't work. And he put another one up there, and then it opened up. I was dying. Yeah.
That was funny.
And he tells him, he says, hey, y'all are free to go. Go kill your humans. Them men was lickety-split out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Scattered. Okay. And then...
But there was one boy, or young vampire, that stayed there. And so Eric was like, well... You can go.
He says, my maker's in there, in one of those little bins.
Yeah, I don't know what those, I guess they're supposed to be little.
Those are drawers that they use for dead bodies and stuff.
So he pulls it out, and he's got the Hep V.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to know, why didn't all of them or more of them have it?
Well, they might have, but it just ain't been enough time yet.
Oh.
See? But anyway, so, you know, but then... While Eric's dealing with this little kid, or this young vampire, then we see Bill arriving at the vamp camp, and he sees all the dead bodies outside. So Bill goes inside, and the first person he gets to is Dr. Overlook's office. And Overlook's, of course, dying on the floor and stuff. And so Overlook's saying, why don't you kill me? And Bill questions him. He says, hey, did you have anything to do with a vampire named Jessica Hamby? And he said, yes. And he said, did you hurt her? He said, yes. He says, I'd be more than happy to kill your ass. He squishes his
But wait,
ass.
He stomps on his face.
He stomps on
I
his face.
I thought he was going to bite him or something.
Oh, hell no. He don't want to bite that fool.
He stomps his face. Squishes like a sponge.
A
now, that was
bug.
Obviously some fake ass head.
That was squish. It was awesome, though. It was awesome. So then we see Eric, and Eric has gone to the female gin pop, and he has let everybody go. Well, when all the women rush out, Jason's laid out on a bench with a buku bite marks on him.
Yeah.
Because Violet and Pam and Tara and them was taken to the circular room. All them bitches was feeding off of Jason.
Yep.
Damn. So that's why they don't have the Hep B, because they was feeding off of Jason. And so then Eric says, well, Jason Stackhouse. I love the way he says that.
Yeah.
And
I kept thinking, ooh, what he going to do to Jason?
What he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but see, Eric knows, though, that Jason, Eric knows some history on Jason. And so I like the way that he just very gently said, the last time I saw you, you was spouting some hateful shit. And, you know, Jason, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Eric knows that Jason's kind of like simple. He's just a simple guy. You know, all he does is screw around with people. And
I don't think Eric knows all that.
Yeah, I think he does.
I don't.
So then he asked Jason, have I ever healed you before? Jason said, I don't think so.
Or given you my blood. Have you ever tasted my blood?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you're in for a treat.
A treat. And he says, and when you dream about me, dream nice things. Wait. And then The next time we see Jason, man, he lickety-split. He got all this energy. He's leading Eric through it all. He's leading
Eric.
He's like,
do you know this camp well, or do you know your way around? Yeah. He's like, yes. He's like, all right.
Uh-huh. So he's leading him to the circular room. That's where Eric wants to go. However,
On the way,
Eric confronts that Dr. Finn. The psychiatrist.
His name?
Dr. Finn.
Okay, I didn't ever hear his name.
Eric's telling him, hey, look.
Well,
you
wait, along the way, as they're walking around, and Bill also, you see bodies, you see
everywhere.
Vampires chewing on people,
mm-hmm.
you see some vampires have people
in those different rooms and
pulling their teeth, or they're making them run on the wheel, and I thought that was funny as
hell. That was funny, making them run like a hamster wheel.
Do the shit that she was having me do.
Yeah.
And also, I was thinking at first, why don't they leave? But I'm like, yo, it's daytime. They can't leave yet.
Exactly.
They have to stay in there.
Exactly. Because they don't know about the other stuff yet. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Eric is saying to Dr. Finn, you know what? You forgot to ask me something in our last sessions. And Dr. Finn's, I'm like, what did I forget? He says, you forgot to ask me how you going to die. That doctor's response was funny to me because he said, frankly, I don't really care. That's what he said. He said, I don't really care because I know something you don't.
He already knew that they were going to kill him at some point.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wanted to give Eric any satisfaction with being
that
scared.
That must be it.
And I think he called himself being bold and badass.
Mm-hmm. He tells him, and Eric says, and what would that be? And he says, I fucked your progeny. Eric snatches them contacts out of his eyes so quick, I couldn't even blink.
I didn't even know what he did at first. And then I saw the contacts.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, that's what he did.
He says, are you telling the truth? Or you know, he makes him tell him. He said, yeah.
She said she was a prostitute in her former life.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to get to gym pop.
So Eric snatches him up. And Finn says, aren't you going to kill me? He said, nah, I'm going to take you to Pam.
She deserves the right to do it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so then the next time we see Eric, we hear, well, first of all, we hear our familiar sound. We hear Ginger screaming.
Ah.
Eric says, that sounds familiar. So he goes and opens the door for all those donors, those human donors.
Human donor program.
Yeah. They was all standing in there, and Ginger's just screaming, and she, oh, Eric, my shining hero, come to save me. I love Ginger, though.
I like Ginger, too.
I love Ginger. So now,
I like how they incorporate her.
Me, too. So now, while Jason is leading Eric to the circular room, then Ginger's following them, too.
Yeah.
See? And as they pass by certain guards and stuff that are all bloody and dead and chewed up. Jason's, hey, Tony, how you doing? Them's the same ones that pricked him and threw him in that gym pop seat. And then Sarah Newland crawls out.
Yeah, you know what? That was smart. She had crawled under a couple of the dead bodies.
Of the dead bodies and was laying there.
And just waiting.
Waiting
for her chance to get out.
Mm-hmm. And then she get on up and runs outside.
Yeah, that was smart.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would have to do.
Yep.
Because I wouldn't be able to run or nothing. But that was really smart.
And then we see, as this is going on, we see Bill, and he's walking through and walking through and walking through. All of a sudden, Bill remembers, hey, wait a minute. I got Warlow's blood. I can do this myself. I don't need to go find Eric.
That actually was smart.
That was very smart.
I did not think about that.
I didn't either until he was flashing back, and I thought, yeah, Bill.
Yes.
And so then we see Sarah is climbing up to the roof. Sarah Newland is climbing up to the roof on the outside.
Yeah.
While she's spouting scriptures, gonna go open up the manually open up that roof light.
Yep.
Or the roof so the sun will get them. And so she's opening up the roof. And once she gets that roof open and we get a look from the outside in, all those vampires in that room and some other ones too. Because there's some other ones there other than the ones they just put in that circular room. They're all feeding off Bill.
Yes.
They're all feeding off of Bill.
Feeding.
They are slurping. And none of them, and all of them meet the sun, and none of them burn. Not a one.
None of them burn up.
And Steve Newland's on the outside trying to push his way into that group to get some blood. And they are not letting him in. Thank you.
I'm like, thank you, yes.
And Jessica's the one, and Steve, let me in, come on, let me get some. And Jessica pushes him over to the wall. Well, by that time, Jason and the doctor and Eric and Ginger,
yeah,
they come to the observation room, you know, where you can look into the circular room.
Yeah.
And Eric sees what's going on. So Eric rushes in there. And he yokes up Steve Newland. I'm so glad.
I am too.
I am so glad.
I loved it.
I loved it.
And when Bill's dumbass is saying, let him get some, I'm like, no, this motherfucker needs to go.
Yeah.
I was so happy.
And I like what Eric said. He said, every time I lost somebody, you was right there.
Yes.
Every time.
I liked this scene.
Uh-huh.
I liked it. And I like Ruthless Eric.
I love Ruthless Eric.
I loved it.
And
he needs to go.
He held Steve Newland out and, in that sunlight.
But wait, at this point, Sarah has opened it all the way up and is peering over the side.
Look,
she sees all the vampires still alive. She's like, what the fuck?
Uh-huh.
And he, as Steve Newland is about to meet the sun, he's screaming and looking at her going, I love you, Jason Stackhouse.
Oh, Sarah Newland looks so disgusted, too. And then I loved it when Steve Newland went
burst
to goo.
Into flame.
He burst into flame and he is goo.
Yes.
He gone.
I loved it.
He is goo. I am so happy.
Yeah, I loved it.
Because, I mean, he had to pay for all that shit he done.
Yeah, I was tired of...
And Ginger starts screaming and Jason's jumping because Ginger's screaming.
Yeah. And then Eric and Pam reunite.
Yeah, that was sweet. And he says, I saved that therapist for you.
Mm-hmm. I know. And her reaction was like, aw.
I know.
She said, good care of me.
Yeah. I love them together.
I do too.
So then we see Violet. Bill is laid out on the floor, pretty near death, almost drained.
Yeah.
And Violet is the one that's there, and she says, I don't know who you are, but thank you so much. And she's thanking him. All the little vampires are dancing around the room.
They high.
Yeah, because they high and everything. And then they realize, hey, the sun, we can go outside. And so they're all rushing outside, you know? Then Jason says, and Pam says something about, have we killed everybody that needs to be killed? And Jason's thinking, nah, all except one. So he takes out and goes after Sarah Newland.
This scene to me was kind of stupid and a waste of time because you knew from the get-go Jason was not going to do jack shit.
He wasn't going to.
I mean, he could have knocked her up against the car or punched her.
Yeah, but I like the fight, though. Like it. He jumped on her, knocked her ass down. He was going to shoot her. He was so mad. And all that stuff he was saying, he said, yeah, you claim to talk to God. Well, how come I can't talk to Jesus? Oh, they had me dying. He had me dying. It was kind of funny, though. But then, while everybody's going outside and Bill's laid out on the floor by himself, there's some three bloody
chicks.
Chicks.
Naked chicks.
With their bloody...
coming to get him.
Bloody little bushes and everything. You know, coming to get him.
Yep.
Talking about, mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm not going anywhere to them.
And so then we see Eric. He comes outside. All the little vampires is outside dancing and stuff. And Eric goes over to these cases of True Blood. And he throws them on the ground. And he starts destroying all these cases. So all the vampires join in. And they're throwing the cases of True Blood, splashing them on the ground and everything.
They're trying to destroy it
all. Yeah, trying to destroy it all.
Well, at this point, though, Jessica starts realizing, hey, where's Bill?
Yeah, because she can't quite feel him because he's laying on
he's
that floor
dying. Yeah. I can't hardly feel him. So her and James run back in to try to find Bill, and he's, you know, talking to the Merkins girls.
The Merkins girls.
We'll just call them the Merkins
girls. The Bloody Merkins.
And he's saying they want to take me, but I don't want to go. And so they're like, what? Who are you talking about? Because they can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
So as those three get closer, Jessica says, look, we just need to feed him. We need to give him our blood.
Well, James says that.
Oh, was it James that said that?
And Jessica says, well, it don't work that way. Vampires can't heal vampires. And he said, well, he just did. He just healed us. Boop. Now, we got his blood. Yeah.
Yeah. Boop.
We got his blood, so maybe we can feed it back to him.
Yeah. And Bernardo's blood, who can walk in the
desert. Yeah. And so James, you know, pulls his hair back and says, come on, drink, you know, to Bill.
Yeah.
And Bill's really weak, though.
He is weak.
So the next scene we got with them, everybody's outside. Everybody's, you know, la-di-da dancing, playing in the sun. Out comes Jessica slowly. Then out comes James slowly, and then here comes Bill. And everybody's looking at him like, oh, because, you know, he's all bloody. He got holes all in his clothes and stuff. They realize he's the one that saved them.
Yeah.
But he's now better. You know, he's alive and everything, and he's his full strength, it looks like.
Yep.
So Jessica, just like Jessica do, hey, everybody, come on back to our place, you know.
Let's celebrate.
Yeah, let's party at our place, you know. And that was really cute. That was really cute because that's like a kid. I mean, she is a kid still.
Yeah,
you know.
She is. But I'd be like, look, we just had this ordeal.
I know.
Everybody go home and take care of yourself.
No, they not. So then Pam is looking around and she sees Eric way off, you know, like.
To the side. Well, actually, what happened is Eric, as they were celebrating, he went back into the building.
Yeah, he did.
And he went back to the room where Nora was injected.
Yep.
And tears up that little cage area. And I kept thinking, okay, don't go back in there because you might get caught up.
That's what I thought at first.
I thought,
come on, get out of there.
He might get caught up somewhere. We don't want, you know, him to be caught up.
Yeah, see, look at all them vampires.
I know.
There's a whole bunch of other ones. Mm-hmm.
And, oh, that's the part that fucking annoyed me, too.
What?
Okay, so as they're all trying to walk and go home or wherever they're going to go, before that Eric and Pam thing, Violet goes back to Jason. And says, okay, let's go. You're still mine. He's like, oh, I thought, you know, once we got loose. Mm. So they're going to keep perpetuating that stupid shit?
I don't know. I hope something changes with that shit.
It better.
Yeah, because I don't like that shit.
I mean, we only have one episode left, but...
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to perpetuate that shit and waste time in the last episode? Probably.
Mm-hmm. And then Pam sees Eric...
off to the side.
And... she's looking at him, and he's looking. That look he gives her is like, oh, it's crushing. And Pam, she says, don't you dare leave me.
Yeah.
And Eric.
She can see it in his mind.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got to go do something.
And Eric flies on off.
He sure does.
Oh. Eric is too fine, though.
Yes,
damn,
that man is.
Even when he had to leave her, though, dang, he was looking too fine.
Where the fuck is he going, though? That's the question. Hey,
we're going to find out, but
and
dang.
And why does he need to go?
We're going to find out in the finale, I'm sure, but I felt really bad for Pam.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for Pam, though. You know.
But, you know, this
I like that episode,
that
though.
That was a good episode. I liked it, too.
Yeah,
I did.
That was great. That was a good balance with the funeral and with the vamp camp. That was excellent.
I was way less annoyed than I normally am. But, you know, it was really good. We got that personal connection, and we got the satisfaction of seeing some of those fools at the vamp camp die.
Die a horrible, painful death.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well... our first email for this episode is from Bunny.
Hey, Bunny.
And she says, hi, sisters. Hope all is well with you both. Can someone tell me where the fuck Eric went? Exactly. That's what I want to know, too, Bunny.
Yep.
Hopefully he went to kill that blonde woman. Her name, is her name Sarah? I see Jason could not do it. And I was on the verge, or excuse me, I was on the edge of my seat saying, do it.
Me
but
too.
But alas, he did not.
Jason just ain't mean enough,
He's
though.
He's not mean enough for that.
Mm-mm.
Did you see, beautiful service for Terry.
Yep.
Is it me, or did Lafayette look both handsome and beautiful at the same time?
I know it.
Yeah,
he did. Looked fine, though. He looked fine.
He looks fine in that hat and those lashes.
Mm-hmm.
I did cry when Big John sang. It was heartfelt.
I know.
Did you see Tara's mom? She looked really nice. Think she'll be back, crazy ass that she is.
Yeah, Letty Mae is crazy.
She looked nice, but I think she was drunk.
Letty Mae did look nice, though.
Again, where did Eric go? Love the podcast. Know it will be over soon and do not know what to do with myself. As always, Bunny.
Thank you, Bunny.
Thank you, Bunny,
for the email. Yeah, we got one more episode.
One
That's it.
More.
Man, it seemed like it went quick this season.
It did.
Even though we got behind everything,
well,
went so quick, I think.
I think it went quick because we were behind.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Okay, so our next email is from... Oh, looks like we have a voicemail from MK. Let me play that.
Okay,
now.
Cool.
Hey, sisters. This is MK from Chicago. Calling to just give thoughts about the most recent episode, the penultimate episode of the season. It seems like True Blood is taking after Game of Thrones, making their most exciting kind of story-wrapping-up episode the second to last, rather than the finale. It's almost like the finale now is about opening things to keep us eager for next season. It'll be interesting to see what happens next week, but that's not why I called. I'm curious. I'm having this interesting reaction. I keep thinking about the episode, and I really, really liked certain aspects of it, and I won't go into boring you with all the things I loved, but I really enjoyed mostly the funeral, how they spread that out over an entire episode, which, although I really liked it, at the same time I was really enjoying it, I kept thinking, well, Terry wasn't a major character. I mean, he was a minor character. And that was the first thing that struck me as odd. As much as I liked Terry, and like I said, I enjoyed it, it just wasn't, like, there was a part of my brain that couldn't make sense of it. And then the other piece was the fact that, the heartfelt sentiment of the funeral, which was lovely, was contrasted with the intense violence of, the vampire's escape and Eric freeing the vampires. That guy's package being ripped out of his pants was probably one of the most violent things I've ever seen. Ew, and then we had to look at it on the floor like a shriveled up old Braunschweiger. Ugh, disgusting. That was totally nasty. And anyway, I'm just going on, but that's the thing I'm struggling with today is just thinking about it. Those two things, the contrast and what was the point of the contrast? It seemed well directed, but I think I might have been missing something. So that's it. So love you guys. Already sad that the season's going to be wrapping up because that means I won't be hearing from you on either of my favorite shows for quite some time. But take care and hope you're feeling a lot better. Bye.
Shriveled up Braunschweiger. Thank you, MK, for that visual.
Thank you, MK.
Oh, that's a great one. And MK, okay. In my opinion, that's the whole point of the episode. That's what makes this episode so poignant is the contrast between the funeral and the violence. I mean, the funeral was calm and peaceful and a tribute to a person, juxtaposed to the violence. To me, that was the whole point. That was the beauty of the episode to me. And as far as the funeral being like anyway, like over the top or anything, I disagree. Terry might have been a minor character, but like Lafayette, he was a beloved character. Terry was had a big audience, maybe not as big as Lafayette, but I mean, everybody loved Terry, so I thought it was totally appropriate. I loved it.
I think they used the funeral, or they made it as big as they did, even though it was for a side character, kind of, because they wanted to have an opportunity to get all those characters together that we haven't seen.
All of them.
In a while, and it was a way to kind of tribute back to their first season.
I think
where
it was
we met all of these people and fell in love with the show, and I really liked it. I really liked it, too. I liked the... I loved the vamp camp stuff.
I loved
that part. Even though that scene with the junk getting thrown out, tossed out, or ripped off.
But that was excellent. Nasty. But it was excellent because it was so unexpected.
It was so gross.
So unexpected. Ugh. But I also think that they, meaning the show directors and producers, I believe they did the funeral like they did to also give tribute to servicemen and women who have died in the line of duty. I think so. That was a very, very good service.
They, believe me, I don't think the writers thought like that.
Well, that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got yours, I got mine. But yeah. Thank you, MK. That's a wonderful voicemail. Yes. Yeah.
Love the voicemail. Okay, and our next piece of feedback is from Shalita.
Hey, Shalita.
Hey, sisters. Hope you're feeling better, Sister J.
Yep.
The podcast can wait. Your health is more important.
I agree.
On to Life Matters. Another depressing episode for me. I've come to realize that if Eric's sad, I'm sad. I know that's ridiculous, but I think his utter despair over Nora has gotten to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even his vengeance didn't help. That look of utter despair he gave Pam at the end really bothered me.
I know.
I'm hoping he's just going off to grieve alone and he'll be back. He knows Pam and Tara will look out for Willa. He's not good to be around anybody right now.
Yep.
Okay, on to the fun stuff. Or at least the less sad stuff for me. First of all, Eric is a freaking killing machine.
Yep.
He is fond of dismemberment. Dismemberment.
He sure is.
Laugh out loud. And apparently the ripping off of balls. Gross, but way cool. And I love him and Jason working together.
Me too.
I, for one, am really looking forward to Jason's dream about Eric. The showrunner guy hinted to Entertainment Weekly that we may be getting some full frontal Skarsgård.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Plus, he even saved Ginger. I know that scream. Laugh out loud. She may get on their nerves, but Ginger is loyal.
Yep.
And I love how protective he is of Pam. He takes such good care of her, saving nasty Dr. Otis for her to waltz with and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to kill Steve Newland. I'm going to miss Steve, but the little wussy had it coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did.
He had to go.
He did have a great last line, though. I love you, Jason Stackhouse. Classic Steve. Did you see the pic posted online of him and the other cast members?
Nope.
Kristen Bauer, Von Stratton, Pam was like, we'll miss ignoring you or something like that. Classic. And Michael McMillan, Steve, said they had a nice send-off for him and that Skarsgård included a funny but inappropriate send-off involving skin on the gag reel for him.
Oh.
Must-see footage of gag reel. Laugh out loud. And she added the picture that they posted of him sitting by himself.
Oh.
I'm worried about Jason with this Violet chick. She's very possessive of him.
Yeah.
Is she even going to let him have a life at this point?
Somebody going to have to stake her.
Yeah. But I do understand why he didn't kill Sarah Newland and her crazy ass. It would have been in cold blood at that point. And Jason is not a cold-blooded killer.
That's right.
Yeah, see, I agree with that.
That's right.
All other times he's killed, it's been in self-defense. Do you think Sarah might be pregnant with the governor's or Jason's baby? She can come back later with a possible telepathic kid. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Lord, let's hope not.
Oh, Lord. That would be interesting, though.
Mm.
So Bill actually saved our vamps. Well, it took him long enough to figure it out. Sheesh. But why couldn't they just go out the door once it was open? And only a small part of the room was exposed to sunlight. I don't know. Plot hole. But was Bill really going to leave the humans alone unless they hurt Jess? Really, Bill? Really? He still pisses me off. But I did love Sookie tossing him out of fairyland like that.
That was good.
That was good. Wonder what it means now that there are other vamps who can go out in the day. How long will it last? Are they able to pass it on to others?
We're going
to
see.
I think it only lasts as long as the blood stays in their system.
I don't know. We're going to see.
I don't know. Bill's still walking around.
Yep. We're going to see.
It's been at least a couple of days. Sookie and Benlow. I really hope Sookie doesn't keep her promise because he's psycho.
She won't keep her promise. She ain't going to be no vampire.
And she knows he killed the nightclub fairies. And now Niall is missing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish she'd finally wise up, zap this guy, and move on. Now on to Terry's funeral. It was really well done. I know some folks weren't feeling them taking time away from the vamps, but it was nicely done.
Yep.
Oh, I liked it.
I liked it, too.
I think that's what made the episode good.
Me, too. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And I liked the way they went back and forth like that.
Flashbacks, yeah.
Yep.
First of all, love, love, love Lafayette. He was looking sharp in that suit and all that purple.
Yep.
That man is too fine with or without the makeup.
He sure is, though.
He is. Letty Mae was back and drunk, if I'm not mistaken. Shaking my head. I wonder what made her fall off the wagon. But I'm really glad Arlene had Reverend Daniels do the service.
That was good.
He really knew Terry. Yeah, because I remember back in a couple of seasons ago, he had mentioned going to that church.
Yep. That he really liked it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He had spent time with him and gave a beautiful eulogy.
I think so, too. It was great.
Yeah, it was really good. I don't care what Grandma said. Plus, someone needs to shut her up. Stop being ignorant, Grandma.
I know, and she was ignorant.
Wait, and she didn't say ignorant. She said ignorant.
Ignorant.
Ignorant, Grandma. And we got the return of Mrs. Fortenberry and Jane Boathouse, who was thankfully sober.
She was sober this time.
They had me cracking up salivating over all seeds.
I know it. Ooh. Now, that smelled like a man. Mm. Smelled like dog, probably.
Nice to see all seed acting like all seed.
Mm.
I'm through with all seed.
Anyway.
Everyone had such sweet recollections of Terry. Could have done without Porsches, but still nice.
Yeah.
Love the flashbacks of everyone looking like they did in season one. Nice touch. And though Sookie got on my nerves with her speech at first, talking about herself, I see why she did it. Because she shared a really beautiful memory with Arlene.
Yeah,
that was
I liked it.
I
thought it was great when she was talking about herself, because I mean everybody in that town talks about her and stares at her and you know looks at her and stuff. So I thought it was great that she acknowledged it in front of that whole little group.
Yeah, and she had to. Everybody was talking about themselves.
Sure,
them and their reaction to Terry or their thoughts with Terry. But
yeah,
I guess I could see it. If you're annoyed with someone, though, it's hard to get over it. And she's been annoying the whole fucking season. Now it's time for the finale. While I'm going to miss my weekly dose of Eric, I'm ready for this season to end. I've enjoyed parts of it, and other parts piss me off. Amen. Typical True Blood. I think what I'm most pissed about is what they've done to Sookie. She was so strong early in the season, but now she's acting so out of character. The moment they had her bite Benlow and mount him, it's just been weird. I don't know.
Hmm.
Anywho, almost finale time. Until next time, Shalita. P.S. I hope you are both in good health and feeling well. Take care of yourselves. And sorry for another long-ass email, Sister J.
I know you not, girl.
P.S.S. Another convention this weekend. I'll see if I can get a sound bite from Carl. Maybe. Don't get bit.
That's good.
Yes, and Shalita has been posting.
Thank you, Shalita.
Thank you, Shalita. And Shalita has been posting on Facebook all of the wonderful pictures.
Wonderful pictures, Shalita.
Of her convention experience. And she's also sent us a little sound bite from the convention that I am going to play now.
Okay, cool.
It's actually, let me play it and then we will talk about it.
Okay, cool.
Hi, this is Jessica Clark, Lilith on True Blood. Drink the blood. Drink all.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you, Shalita.
Jessica Clark. Awesome.
She says, here is the soundbite from Lilith.
Lilith. Wow.
Jessica Clark. I know nobody likes her character, but I had to get something from a True Blood cast member. Enjoy.
Wow. Thank you so much,
Thank
Shalita.
You, Shalita.
Thank you,
awesome.
Miss Clark.
Thank you, Jessica Clark.
That's great.
I actually don't mind her character. I just didn't like her always naked.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we just objected to her bloody and naked. Naked is okay, but, you know, there for a while, it was just always all that blood and naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but she was good, though.
Shalita,
great.
You are a rock star.
Girl, Shalita, you awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay, our next piece of feedback is from Paris.
Hey, Paris.
Hey, sisters. Glad to hear Sister J is feeling better.
Yep.
Let's get into it. It's a long one.
Uh-oh.
Season 6 has really surprised me. It's definitely my favorite after seasons 1 and 2. Between the bloody, gory carnage at Vamp Camp to the tragically beautiful funeral service for Terry, I was reminded why I fell in love with this show.
Yep.
The characters. Eric ruled this episode. Mm-hmm. I was angry at him for attacking Adeline in the last one, but it was ingenious at what he used her blood for.
Exactly.
Single-handedly busting back into the camp and tearing it apart. During the overlarge genital removal scene, I think it's safe to say every male viewer simultaneously clenched up and cheered. I mean, damn, that was brutal, but he did kill his sister.
Yep.
Then when he turned his fellow vampires loose, you knew it was all over.
It was over.
On the flip side, we had Billith running around always two steps behind Northman. Like, come on, Bill. I thought you were supposed to be this badass super vamp now.
Mm-hmm.
I love that it finally clicked for him that he would have to be the one to make the sacrifice in order to save them. Seeing all the vamps high off Warlow/Lilith's blood was absolutely priceless.
Yeah, that was good.
Pam had me dying laughing when Eric gave her the gift of killing the therapist. You take such good care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Something tells me the war is not nearly over, though.
Yeah.
Jason allowed Sarah to live and escape, and some of the poisoned true blood did get out into the world.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't talk about that, but then they showed scenes of
Honolulu. They were in Honolulu.
Yeah, some vampires destroying the true blood as it was coming off the trucks.
Well, they took it off the truck. We didn't see them destroy it.
Yeah, they were throwing it down.
I didn't see him throwing it down. It looked to me like it was a boost. They was boosting that truck.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I missed
that. No, it didn't show them. Not the ones in Honolulu.
Yeah.
They was boosting the truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. I saw it wrong. Let's see. Harris says, also, Lilith's sirens trying to come for Bill does not bode well for our favorite southern vampire. He may be living on borrowed time as well as powers.
Could be.
The closing shot of all the vamps literally dancing in the sun was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
What Sister J said about Pam and Eric communicating without saying a word came back to me here. The pain in Pam's eyes and face and the look on Eric's was another example of just damn good acting.
I think so,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
It was so... Oh, it was sorrowful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Terry's funeral was so touching. All the flashbacks and stories really put me through it. I'll admit that Andy, Sookie, and Lafayette had me sniveling.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Andy when he talked about war not being a game.
I know.
He really did love his cousin, and we found out he worked his hardest to help him find his way back to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Sookie surprised me the most, though. By outing herself as a telepath to the town, she was able to really give Arlene some comfort in knowing Terry loved her from the beginning.
Yep.
Loved, loved, loved this episode. One more to go, sisters. I predict Sookie and Warlow's engagement will come to a screeching halt.
Me too.
Yeah, something ain't right with
that. Yeah, something ain't right.
The human-vampire war will begin to escalate for season 7, and we will see what has become of Bill now that he has shared the blood of Lilith. Cannot wait, Paris.
Thank you, Paris, for that long ass email.
Thank you,
Paris. Ooh, that's a long one. But yeah, that's really good. I think Sookie and Warlow are going to be breaking up. Bernardo.
Something.
Yeah. That's not going through, no. And he's going to be mad, too.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be mad.
And he'll probably be more like that thing that came off the bridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, see, that was him.
That was him.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Paris. Okay, our next email is from Pam.
Hey, Pam.
In Charleston. Hi, Sister J, and hi, Sister K. This is Pam from Charleston, South Carolina.
Woo!
Hope everyone is feeling well now, and since I've never written, it may be a long-ass email, so I will apologize now.
Ooh, first-timer!
Yes.
Welcome!
Yes, and thank you, Pam, for writing, because Pam posted on Facebook, and I said, okay, now, Pam, we need to get some you to write in, because she mentioned something about having her own curtain story.
Uh-oh!
So,
write in, girl!
I'm so happy you wrote in. It looks like a long-ass email, too.
Okay,
her first go out.
Come on with it, Bam.
She says, just had to tell you how I love your podcast. I'm a therapist, and I work in a rural hospital. So 2.5 hours of my day is spent in a car.
Whew.
Damn.
That's a long commute.
I started listening with your True Blood podcast and downloaded the 2 years of your Game of Thrones, and it has kept me entertained and laughing the whole time.
Oh, great.
It feels like I know the fans. Brother Ray, Bunny. Is it Tammy with the husband, Andre?
Yeah, Andreas. Hi, Andreas.
And we haven't heard from Tammy in a while.
Yeah, where y'all at?
I love hearing the sound of the dog walking, barking, shaking his collar, and playing with the squeak toy in the background. And how Sister J yells, Sister K, every time she referred to Tyrion as cute and little on Game of Thrones. Actually, it's the other way around, how Sister K yells at Sister J. Because Sister J is always talking about how little he is.
He is little. Mm.
So here are my thoughts on True Blood right now.
Okay.
Episode 9. I really liked almost everything. Some people don't like the long funeral in between the action, but I needed the calm between the oh shit.
I think so too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Between the oh shit, did Eric just rip out his penis? And yep, there it is, laying there lifeless, reminding me of my ex somehow.
Oh!
Pam!
Pam!
Ooh! Damn!
All right now!
I like seeing the contrast of how Eric dealt with his grief and Arlene dealt with hers. He lost his human family and now his vampire family, father and sister, with less strong bond with Pam. Mm-hmm. Arlene lost her husband but still had her children and the whole town supporting her.
Yep.
He essentially was alone and destructive, and she had a chance to grieve and find some peace.
Yep.
I enjoyed the emotional roller coaster. It was good to see Bill finally do something except for killing the governor. He's done a lot of standing around thinking.
Yep.
Now he's the vamp Jesus. Now see, then I did it in reverse this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's the vamp Jesus. Does that change him from Bill to Beezus now? No, I don't think he's the vamp Jesus.
Yeah, though. I don't think so.
I thought Warlow was going to be the big bad. Now he's the hottie tied to the tree for 2 or 3 episodes. Not that this is a bad thing. And what about Niall? Don't you think Sookie or Jason would have noticed him gone even if he was glamored?
Well, Jason been busy, though.
Sookie has noticed because she asked Jason that on her voicemail.
Yeah.
I think in the end, Warlow is going to be the vampire who wants to steal Sookie's light that Claudine warned about. So he maybe won't have to be a vampire anymore. Just a theory.
Oh, now that's good.
That's a good idea.
That's good.
He keeps saying he wants to make her his vampire bride,
See, we know he got some ulterior something somewhere.
Something ain't right.
Yeah, something ain't right.
I love seeing Carefree Lala in the flashback. Even when he was showing signs of his future power, seeing Terry's soul in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see being hot and not a jerk. Maxine and Jane Boathouse. A nod to Hoyt. Nice touches.
Yep.
The song was touching, and being from a military family in town, the funeral made me cry.
Yep.
And although Sarah Newland deserved to die, Jason does not handle killing humans well. So glad he didn't have that on him.
Yep.
And Steve gets the award for the funniest death. I love you, Jason Stackhouse.
I know it.
I have read the books. I enjoyed both. I look at them as same groups of characters in two different universes.
Yep.
This season is much more interesting. Love you, ladies. Can't wait to hear your podcast in the future. Not one star. I know better. And like I said, this white girl learned a long time ago to keep those curtains closed or the neighbor's son will be singing outside your window.
Ooh.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Ooh.
How embarrassing.
Ooh.
And then she had a second email, P.S. I had to explain the curtain story a bit more in my defense, laugh out loud.
Okay.
I lived in the country, so no street lights, and it was very dark outside. I had bought these beautiful Roman shades made of bamboo. They were down. My boyfriend and I were, we will say, busy. The next day, I heard my friend's 18-year-old son singing that old Rockwell song, I Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me, and my eyes flew open. His mom is my best friend, and she told me he saw everything.
What?
Oh my gosh. First of all, let me finish. So that night, I had her stand in my room with the lights on, and I went outside to see exactly how much he saw. Well, she jumped in the middle of my bed and started thrashing around. It was as bright and clear as a white
as a white screen TV. Oh my God.
Oh, I went right out and bought dark fabric to put behind them. He said it was better than pay-per-view.
Oh my God, how embarrassing.
Damn, should I have been flattered?
Ugh. Oh my God.
He may have been scarred for life, Pam.
Oh, Pam.
Pam, that's
how
awful.
How embarrassing.
That's awful.
I didn't know you could see through Roman shades like that.
I don't even know what Roman shades
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that's a little slat things. But
she said she had them closed.
Yeah, but.
Damn.
There's, oh my gosh.
First of all, this is what I say. Why is this?
Why is he standing outside your damn window?
Standing outside your window, foe.
Shit.
But you know what? It was Pam. He's been able to see in there for a long ass time.
A long ass time. He was comfortable standing there.
Looking in on you.
Yeah. Ooh, hey, you might want to address your friend about her son.
Well, obviously he told the mother.
Damn.
Because the mother's the friend. So he told her that he saw everything.
Damn. Better than pay-per-view. Oh, shit.
Pam, you and the boyfriend must have been getting real busy.
Lord, that is so embarrassing.
Hopefully he, I might not say it because I don't want you to get nervous.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Thank you, Pam,
for that clarification.
Well, for sharing it, first of all. I love, see y'all, let this be a lesson to everybody.
Cautionary tale.
When it's dark outside, close your shades and
your
make
curtains.
Sure the shades are not see-through.
Put some curtains over the top of them shades. Damn. Ooh! That is awesome. Thank you so much, Pam, for sharing.
Thank you, Pam. Ooh, thank you for, you know, writing in for the very first time. We love it.
Welcome to the family, Pam.
Family. Okay, our next email is from Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi, sisters. Happy to hear you're both back and ready to talk True Blood. Hope you're feeling better, Sister J.
Yep.
Now, even though I've had weeks to send in feedback, I'm a little slow. I hope this reaches you in time. I'll cram my thoughts. Well, yeah, because we.
Yeah, because we late.
I'll cram my thoughts on Dead Meat and Life Matters all in one, so feel free to split it up.
Okay.
First of all, I'm having the same problem I had last season. It got to the last three episodes, and I was so tired of the whole damn thing. I felt like Bud Dearborn when he quit. I don't need this horse shit. They won me over last year with The Birth of Billeth. At least this season is shorter, so they're not cramming too much crap in there. I rewatched the last two episodes, so now I'm kind of excited for the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Meat. Love, love, love Eric standing up to Bill.
Yep.
Being a smartass, acting like Peter Pan, he does not give a fuck. Now, Eric's on a mission, but I don't know what his ultimate goal is. I guess Bill is changing his tune now. He doesn't seem so comfortable with his vampire god thing anymore, quote unquote.
That is a good point.
The Wares don't care.
How would you, Eric?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary for some creepy vamp lady to keep Jason as her pet?
Thank you.
That whole thing is just jacked up. Poor Jason. He needs a nice girl who is alive, not crazy, and not trying to rape him.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a romantic proposal, Ben Lowe. Rolling my eyes. And poor Sookie, too. She's right. Can't she just find a man to take her on a normal date?
I know.
I know she has a lot to handle right now, but shouldn't she be a bit more worried? Niall's missing. Jason's missing. Some fairy vampire wants to turn her and make her his bride. So she's just going to chill and down some SoCo. Southern Comfort.
Yeah.
Cut to Sookie versus Bill, part 587. If Bidlow hates being a vampire so much, why would he want to turn Sookie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she stood up to. Ooh, that's a good.
I'm telling you, Ben Marlowe is withholding some information.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she stood up to Bill, though. He's an asshole. She shouldn't help any of them. Sookie has grown up a lot this season, but she shouldn't want to be turned just to spite her parents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wearers and shifters can sniff out a baby. Okay, then, whatever.
Yeah.
One good thing I can say about Alcide is that he drinks my favorite bourbon, Bullier. They pronounce it like bullet down in Kentucky. He likes the rye this time. I like the bourbon. He had the bourbon last season when he got drunk with Sookie. There's my drink recommendation for the week.
I can't hang with no bourbon. I can't hang with no real liquor.
Mm-mm. And if I was hungover like poor Arlene, I would kill to have Lafayette cook me some breakfast.
Ain't that the truth?
Damn, that looked good.
Didn't you see that toast he was fixing in the skillet? Yes. Ooh, that looks so good.
The old way.
The old way.
You know, when you don't have a toaster.
There you go.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Poor girl didn't even get to eat. They didn't show it, but I bet you Andy finished it for her. I bet so too. Nicole's mama had me cracking up. Silver Fox.
I know.
I love Sam's new nickname. And damn, Sookie, did she think Sam was going to propose to her or something?
I know it.
He can't save her. She ignored him long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Did they think we would notice that they recast Caroline Belfleur? No, we saw it. What happened to Mona, Catherine Hellman?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad. Did she die?
I don't know.
I don't know. Hopefully not. I'm really glad Arlene asked for Reverend Daniels. At least he knew Terry, and Terry liked him.
Yep.
It's always weird at a funeral when some preacher is up there that don't even know the person.
Yep.
We finish with Eric being awesome and taking care of business himself. And glamoring that boy to forget that he got that girl's shirt off. Ha! And look at him, actually showing some control and not draining Adeline or Warlow.
Exactly.
Maybe Adeline will learn not to sneak out of the damn house anymore. That's what I say. One thing I picked up from HBO's Inside the Episode bonus stuff, they call the fairy version of the cemetery Cemetery, which is pretty great.
Oh, that's cool. Cemetery.
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 Extra scenes.
I like that.
Okay, so then she goes on to episode 9, Life Matters. Or wait, that's episode 8. No, wait. Episode 9 is...
Whatever.
Episode 9 is Life Matters. Excuse me. Terry's funeral was so sad and so sweet. Jane Bodehouse and Maxine Fortenberry were there. The flashbacks were sad, but kind of funny. Some days I feel you, Terry. I don't like work or people. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I say that every Monday when I have to get on to work.
I don't. I like work.
The award for Best Dressed Man goes to Lafayette.
Thank you.
Damn, he was looking good.
Mm-hmm.
That outfit and those eyelashes, he was killing it.
I know.
And teaching Terry how to dip those fries.
Yep.
They were so cute together.
Mm-hmm.
Big John's song was so nice, especially since they never give him anything to say on this show.
Absolutely.
And good Lord, Caroline Belfleur. That woman is just crazy. Portia needs to take her ass home.
I know.
Back at Vamp Camp, Eric, OMG, he is on a junk-ripping rampage.
Mm-mm.
Uh-oh, Eric's going to save Jason. Dream of nice things.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get some very, very interesting dreams on Sunday. I hear it's going to be over the top. I can't imagine. Anyway, I'm going to miss Steve Newland, but he was so shady. He had to go.
He had to go.
He was a bad guy. Jason is not a bad guy, but he should have killed Sarah. But he didn't. He's too damn nice. And yay, everyone rejoice. Bill's not pure evil and saved everyone. Yawn. But the serious question is, where the hell is Eric going? I'm so worried they're going to kill him off this season.
Ooh, they better not. Hell no.
If they do, they will not have a lot of viewers next time.
Yeah, they will not. I don't think they'll do that. That ain't going to work.
No. Maybe he's just off saving vampire kind.
I think he's off grieving.
But I hope he comes. I think he is too. But I hope he comes back. Even if Alex does leave this season, I hope they don't kill him. My Viking is too cute to be goo.
Oh, they ain't going to kill him.
They bet not.
Hell no.
I'm sorry if this is a long-ass email, but I'm playing catch-up, sisters. It doesn't really feel like the episode is complete until I hear what you two and the other listeners have to say. Can't wait for the finale. Stay healthy, sisters. Erin.
Thank you, Erin, for that long-ass email.
Thank you, Erin.
Ooh, that was a long one, but that was a good one.
That was.
Yeah, they not going to kill Eric. I don't think you have anything to worry about. They not getting rid of him. He's just too popular.
They're not going to kill him.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, and our last piece of feedback for this episode is from Trisha.
Hey, Trisha.
Hi, sisters. I thought this episode was better than last week's. I actually did not mind Alcide in this episode as much. He seemed more like himself, than that annoying alpha male he's been this season.
Thank you.
The only thing I hated was that awful hair of his. Yeah. It hurt my eyes to see that awful center part.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, girl.
I really liked how they mixed the episode with Terry's funeral and flashbacks, along with the chaos that Eric and Bill were causing. I went from saying, aw, cute, to shouting, get him, Eric.
That's right.
Love the podcast, Trisha.
Thank you, Trisha.
Thank you, Trisha.
Yeah, Alcee was looking a mess. I don't know why they doing his hair like that.
I don't know.
It just looked awful.
And his beard even looks scraggly.
Yeah, it looks real scraggly. He shaved that shit off.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trisha, very much.
Thank you, Trisha. And thank you, everybody, for... you know, keeping up with us
over the last
couple of weeks.
Yep.
We have caught up. Woo, I'm so happy.
Yay!
My throat is raw, but I'm happy.
Yeah, we happy. All right.
Well, okay, so we have the finale episode today. And for our last podcast of the week, we want to close it out, as we always do, with a bang. And so we definitely really want y'all to provide your feedback on the final episode of True Blood, our podcast, which would be our final episode of the Sister Speak True Blood podcast.
Yep.
And to help give y'all an incentive to do so,
uh-oh,
we want to announce a really exciting new thing. I think that new prize and that we think that y'all will like. So we would like all of y'all to enter our new feedback contest, which will be email or voicemail only.
Okay. Email or voicemail only.
Or even an iTunes review.
What about Facebook?
No, because that's too difficult.
Okay. So, okay, listen up, everybody. Only email. You got to send an email. You got to send a voicemail. Or you got to post an iTunes review to be in the contest.
To be in the contest. It's going to work like our other contests.
We're going to random draw.
We'll write your name down. We'll put you
in the pot. How many winners we going to have?
We might have a couple, but we'll play that by ear.
Okay.
We'll play it by
ear. We will have more than one.
Yes. And the...
okay. Drum roll.
The cool prize...
the prize is...
is...
y'all gonna love it.
A Sister Speak...
a authentic...
an authentic original limited edition... Sister Speak podcast t-shirt.
That says on the front...
We'll have a couple of different kind probably, but the what we're working on is one that says on the front, embrace your wholeness.
Embrace your wholeness.
With our Sister Speak logo on the back, True Blood logo on the back.
Yes.
And then we have one that just has the Sister Speak logo on the front.
Yep. And I want you to know that if the winner is a female, we have actual female sized t-shirts.
Yes.
If it's a male, because, you know, female t-shirts are different than a male t-shirt. The sleeves are different. The neckline's different.
It's curvy.
Right. And if a man wins, then, of course, we'll have a male
t-shirt. We'll get you a real man's t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. So, this is a new thing we've been working on. I've been excited to try to announce it out to the world.
Sit the cave and chop it at the bit.
Yes. So, we will have that as our prize. So, definitely send in your feedback. And we're working on a way to be able to offer Sister Speak t-shirts for sale on our website or somehow. We haven't figured all the details out.
Yeah.
But if there's an interest, let us know if you're interested in that. And we will definitely are in the process of looking into it. We'll just have to try to do it as quickly as everybody wants it done. So anyway,
okay,
so
cool.
Send in your feedback. You can send us a email at sisterspeak@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. And our voicemail number is 972-755-1215. Or you can leave an audio file in your email. You can also contact us on Twitter at _SisterJ and _SisterK. We are on Get Glue and probably will be Get Gluing today.
Probably.
For the finale. So definitely check us out on Get Glue. And you can always go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/SisterSpeakPodcast.
Yep.
And leave your comments, although they will not count for the contest.
Right. And all of the emails and everything will be starting dated today until next week.
And, oh, yes, we need a final date. So get it in by Friday, your feedback in, by Friday, whatever that date is. And that will be the end of the contest. 5 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Okay.
All right.
That's around the 23rd or something.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me
I think we need to give them a final date.
Yeah, sorry.
So, dated emails and voicemails and everything dated between August 18th, that's today.
And August 23rd.
And August 23rd.
5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Actually, let's do midnight because we're not going to podcast Friday night.
No, we're not.
We already know.
Yeah, I already know we not.
We ain't. Okay, so midnight Central Standard Time on August 23rd.
That's how long you got.
That's how you got a full week to get your feedback right in on the finale episode. All right, that's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.